Oh, and so see the result, see the glorious result. It's glorious. If you ask Aeneas, it's the seventh year of his sickness. Aeneas, is your sickness glorious? What do you think he'd say? See, glorious is usually glorious after the fact. See, I've got a real bad knee. And it'll be glorious when God gives me my new body. But it ain't so glorious now. You hear what I'm saying to you? Now, I want you to know that tremendous sickness and maladies can be glorious. These faith teachers are wrong when they say it's only glorious when you get healed. I know a little girl named Molly. Molly was a perfectly normal, healthy girl. She lives over in Oak Grove, Louisiana. Or rather, not Oak Grove, but Marouge, Louisiana. I know Molly's family real well. And then at age 18, diabetes, she went completely blind. And you can tell she's blind. She has that white film over her eyes. And Molly married. She married a charismaniac. He told her later that he married her because he was so confident that God would heal her. God didn't heal her, so he left her. After a couple of children. To the glory of God, of course. He now has his degree in Christian psychology and churches hire him. It'd be nice if we ever checked these men out, wouldn't we? See, he doesn't qualify. Who wants to listen with spiritual problems to the counsel from a man that wicked? He has broken the covenant! I hope he'll repent. I love him. I warned him. Molly's blind. She never has seen her children. They went to all the big faith healers. Molly didn't get healed. I prayed for Molly, anointed Molly. I've prayed for people, seen God instantly heal people. I've prayed for people and seen them die right on the spot. Chook. How'd you feel, Floyd? Great. See, I rejoice over the ones God does do something about, and I don't worry about the ones that don't. It's God that's doing this stuff, not me. These are His decisions, not mine. He is sovereign. We call Him King. But you know, Molly is gifted. She plays the guitar extremely well, has a lovely voice. And many times I've sat there with 20, 30, 50, 60 people sitting around in the floor with our Bibles and talking, and Molly either singing or leading the singing with this beautiful voice and praising God. It's one thing for you to praise God. It's another thing for me to praise God. Our health's pretty good. But when you see a blind person singing about the righteousness of God and the mercy and compassion of God, that shakes me to my boots. Yes, Molly's illness is glorious in the hands of God. She brings great glory to God. She had a choice. She could whimper and whine and bellyache and like. I still hope God will heal Molly in this life. But you know what Molly told me one day? She said, Floyd, I know just exactly what you look like. She said, Floyd, I am so fortunate. Because you see, for 18 years, I had perfect vision. I sing reading Braille in the Bible. I sing about trees and leaves and wonders in nature. I know what they look like when I sing. I've seen them. She said, Floyd, I know exactly what you look like. She said, I've seen many men, and I know what men look like. She said, and I've felt all your features. I know exactly what you look like, what your face looks like. I know how tall you are. I felt the top of your head. I know how tall I am. I can tell. She said, if God healed me instantly, I would recognize you on the spot. She says, I know exactly what my babies look like. I know exactly what they look like. And so, yes, the more hopeless and the more well-known, the greater the glory for God. Look at this! What? This tremendous revival! Because God in His foolishness let Aeneas stay sick for so long. Last story, quickly. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, verse 36, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Now Tabitha is the Aramaic name. Dorcas is the Greek name. And in both languages it means gazelle or antelope. It was quite prominent in heathen societies to name beautiful girls after animals. It still is around a lot of parts of the world. It says, it came to pass... And notice what it says. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days, she was sick. Did you see that word? Sick and died. Can you believe it? What will Tulsa do with this? No, no, no. What will our minds do with this? No, no, no. When we try to create God in our image and we try to say, no, God wouldn't do that. This is a good, wonderful Christian woman. God wouldn't let her be sick. And look, look, sick unto death. She dies sick. See, God doesn't think like we do. God doesn't give a fig what we think. And how, what kind of doctrinal problem this may create for us. Moreover, Elisha, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, died on a sick bed. You got to realize, boy, the Tulsa boys would have had him down. See, how did his teacher die? We didn't. Elisha got to see it. Elijah, his master, went up into heaven in a fiery chariot in a whirlwind. Pretty good exit. Now Elisha dies on a sick bed. They tell you, oh, you don't have to die sick. The Bible doesn't know about that. Moreover, sickness is good. It's good. It can work much good. Many people that are lost, they're philosophers, they're scientists, they've got all these ideas about why God can't be there, why he couldn't have done it the way Genesis. Philosophy from Hegel and all these other fools that we have to study at the university. But you know, when you get over in war and bullets are whizzing around your head, bombs are going off, all that philosophy kind of goes out pretty fast. And when you're on a bed and the doctor says you've got about 4 or 5 days to live, all of a sudden you're not so sure about what they taught you at school. All of a sudden, many people now become willing to listen that wouldn't listen. So yes, yes. Oh, when God flooded the world with a flood, many of those people that wouldn't believe Noah, wouldn't get on the ark, oh, they believed then. See, they'd never seen rain. When they saw rain, suddenly a miracle was happening they had never seen. They knew Noah had told them the truth. And this is what the Bible is talking about. Many of these people called on God before they drowned. See, that's why God drowned them instead of killing them all with heart attacks. It takes time to drown the world. People are smart. People got brains, not very smart, but they got brains enough to run from rising water. They'll climb to the rooftop, climb trees, climb hills. See, they can postpone the inevitable. They can tread water for a while. Grab onto logs, float, and while they're doing it, they're thinking. And the Holy Spirit is wooing. Many of them that drown saved. As the Scripture says in Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 6, their flesh perished. It was punishment of the flesh for the saving of the soul. It was too late to live, but not too late to get saved. For whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. See, judgment can be very good. That's one reason why God is bringing the great tribulation. Sure, many people will die lost. They would have died lost anyway. But oh, that kind of agony, that kind of misery, it's going to turn a lot of them are going to give up on philosophy, going to give up on evolution, going to give up on worshiping their own intellect and come to themselves. See, I got sick. And while I was sick, I began to read the Scriptures. And I was sick for 7 weeks, and so I read them through 3 complete times. And by that time, I wasn't dying. I was just sick. Gave me time to stop. I was too busy for God. I was a lost Baptist deacon until then. Then I got saved. It was dreadful. I had to walk down the aisle and tell them all I was a hypocrite. I'm going to tell you, boy, that's the first thing came to me. Great Scots, I'm going to have to go down there and tell them I've lived a lie. Shook me up. I didn't like that part. So sickness is in the hands of God, and it's part of His plan to prepare us for death quite often, because many people need that. And I want to tell you, some that don't. You say, well, I know people that were good Christians that didn't. No. Yeah, but they were around. See, yes, but is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough for whatever your problem is? Yes. How do I know? Watch this person rot with cancer and they really die. And the whole time they praise the Lord. Jesus was enough. Son of a gun. Don't you know what shook the Roman Empire to its foundations was when they were crucifying the Christians and feeding them to the lions, wave after wave, day after day, and they just kept going in singing praises to God. At first it was funny. At first they cheered. But all of a sudden, good grief, if their God is that sufficient, That's sufficient. Even unto this kind of death, I want it. It brought the Roman Empire to its knees. Oh, they didn't all get saved, but it really wiped out a bunch of them. So see, the worst things Satan can think of in the hands of God bring great glory and victory. The Tulsa boys may not understand that she was sick and died sick. See, this is one of the most wonderful... When you read the stories in the Bible, there is no greater story, hardly, of a godly woman than Tabitha. Some of you think, God surely wouldn't let such a wonderful woman die sick. I mean, a fiery chariot, a fiery chariot. Nope, sick, died. Now, notice what happens. She died, whom when they had washed, they laid in an upper chamber, and far as much as Lydia was near to Joppa, look at the map, 10 miles away. Lydia is near to Joppa. The disciples had heard that Peter was there. Now notice the past tense. They had heard. See, they didn't wait till she died. When she was sick unto death, they send two men desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Do you see? You not delay. See, if she's already dead and they send, why not delay? Do you understand that if she's already dead and we're hoping he'll raise her from the dead, what the heck, 2 days, 3 days, it doesn't matter, you know. But see, what they were hoping for is they had heard of Aeneas' healing after 8 years. And now there's hope for Tabitha. Send for Peter. But while they're on the way, see, they had heard, past tense, that he was there. So they send. So that's past tense. And they said, don't delay, don't delay. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Have you got it? Do you see it? Listen. First story, sick for 8 years. Bedridden 8 years. Notice in that story, incidentally, he said, Christ makes you well. Back in verse 34, Aeneas, arise and make your bed. Like Jesus told the guy, rise, pick up your bed and walk. He was already in his own home. He didn't have to rise and pick up his bed and walk. All he had to do was make his bed. And by making it, everybody there would understand he wasn't going back to bed. He was well. Okay? But observe, listen to me, your mind and my mind. Let me tell you where we fail. See, some of you have been encouraged tonight with, hallelujah, you may die, you may get well, you may stay in that bed till you die, but you may get well. See, the whole point is, we have hope. We always have hope because we don't know whether God's going to take us home, whether God's going to heal us, or let us be a testimony that He is sufficient to the last, no matter what. He has a plan for your life that's different from mine. But here it is, at last. I've got you where I want you and where God's been wanting you all night. Yeah. But as long as old Aeneas was in that bed, true, most of us would look at it as hopeless. But there's maybe. Yeah, but this time at last, it's too late. She's dead. You got it? See, that's what happened so much. That's the message in this room for you now. Many times you've called on God and you've waited. Most of you have been so wiped out before the 8 years was up. You know what I mean? You even quit calling on God for it. Started looking for all kind of things wrong with yourself for why God hadn't done it. You don't know the mind of God in the thing. Rest in it. Trust Him as a faithful Creator. But you see, other times it gets to the point where in our minds, by all that we can tell, by all that we can see, it's too late. It's too late, David. Too late, David. But I want you to be encouraged that it is never too late. Amen. Now, I want you to observe a great truth. When Peter came to Aeneas, he didn't pray. When he saw Aeneas, he just turned and commanded, Aeneas, rise. Make up your bed. Why? Because he already knew the mind of God. He had received a word of knowledge from the Lord so that he knew what God wanted to do, and he didn't pray. He commanded. See, anytime you command, you're saying to everyone, I have already heard from God. Now, when you do that, I expect, and have every reason to expect, to see something happen immediately. If it doesn't happen immediately, it isn't biblical. Too late. Oh, how many times in our lives we think it's too late. God's passed me by. This time it's too late. But I want you to see that even death is not too late. On the other hand, I want to tell you all that if you see me die standing up before you right now and I collapse before this lesson is over, I do not want you coming down here and praying for me. When I see the glory of God, I do not want to come back. Leave me alone. Unless you hear the audible voice of God, then obey. But if you want my two bits worth of it, leave me alone. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? I have gone home. I am on a foreign mission. But Peter put them all forth. Verse 40. Look at the finale. He put them all forth and knelt down and prayed. Why is he doing it? Do you observe? Get these formulas out of your mind. Do you observe two great... We've studied three great healings and none of them are alike. Four, when you include the one in Acts 19. None of these are alike because God doesn't have formulas. He doesn't operate by formulas. God has infinite wisdom. He makes each case fit your need and my need as individuals. And he does it in such a way that will touch the most lives and bring the most glory to the Lord Jesus. And we ain't got wisdom enough to figure those out. See, he's praying now because he does not know the will of God. He does not know whether God is going to leave her dead or raise her from the dead. He is after, how do I pray? What do I do, God? I'm here. May I be brutal? I want to shake some of y'all. The full gospel, beloved, if you want to know what the gospel is, read Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul tells us the gospel. He says that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is also told to us by Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead and confess this, we're saved. That's the gospel. And Paul said, if anyone in Galatians chapter 1 preaches any other gospel, even if it's an angel, let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. When you and I tried to ask, see, he didn't say one jolly word about healing in those gospels, messages, or tongues. Now, the Bible tells us about healing. We're reading about healing. The gospel tells us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that isn't the gospel, the full gospel, if you mean by that that you're tying healing and tongues in with the gospel. You have made a new and different gospel, and there's a curse for that. Do you hear me? I'm trying to tell it like it is. Paul told us what the gospel was twice. He defined it and then said, that's it, and any other teaching on it is heresy. Let him be cursed. Many of us in this room present the wrong message to lost people. That's what I'm telling you. Now, after they get saved, or even if they aren't saved, if they're not saved, you can pray that God will heal them, and if they get healed, that's great, but you're still going to have to give them the gospel. I'm trying to tell you, let's give the gospel. Afterwards, we can put them in a class on the gifts of the Spirit and tell them that Jesus still heals, whether the Baptists like it or not. And I'm a Baptist preacher. Okay? In other words, God does things without consulting Nashville, headquarters for the Southern Baptist Convention, honey, in case you didn't know. It's kind of like Springfield for the Assemblies of God, you know, Mecca. Okay? Now look at this. Now he knows what God wants. He has prayed. He has gotten a word from God. He turns to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. That's almost, you know, in the Greek here, there's only one letter in that different from what Jesus said when he said Talitha kumai. This is Tabitha kumai in Greek, and Jesus said Talitha kumai. Only one letter different. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Huh! Good grief. My gosh, did you notice Aeneas? There was no point of contact. He never touched Aeneas. He just commanded. Huh! He didn't touch her. No point of contact. More Tulsa doctrine that's only partially true and therefore it isn't true. Sometimes people were touched. They were anointed. Sometimes there, quote, was a point of contact. But that's not a formula. Many times there wasn't. Come on. Let's come back to the Bible. Quit coming with God with formulas. He had the Word of God. Now he knows what God wants. He turns to the body, doesn't touch her. Tabitha, arise. Did you guys notice how short these struggles were? Some of you, have you ever gotten into one of these healing deals where, man, I mean, they struggle over it and struggle over it and pray and struggle, struggle. How about this? Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you well. Arise and make your bed. I can handle that kind of minute. You know, that's not so bad. I can struggle with that. How about Tabitha, arise? Result. Immediate results. Both times. Every time tonight. She opened her eyes, saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand. Now we have a point of contact, but the miracle's already over. Okay? And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. What was the result? Now listen, why did God let Tabitha die? You wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. Here's this wonderful woman. Surely, you and I think that God should have let them get there on time. Peter should have gotten there before she died. Now listen. Understand, it hurt everybody's heart. People suffered because of her death. People that loved her, their hearts were greatly pained. Some of you in here, come on, remember when you lost that loved one? Understand that God cares, but not that much, about our temporal hurt over losing someone, to the end that the most good can be done. You hear that? God is willing for you and for me to suffer for a temporary time that greater things may be accomplished. See, it brought more glory to God, more souls will be won to bring someone from the dead than to heal a sick person. Moreover, from the first story, if I had only presented you the first story tonight, you were all lost. You could say, well, God's a pretty good healer, but what is the greatest question that man has ever put forth? If a man die, will he live again? Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you all sought God in the first place? The issue was eternal life. If I die, what's going to happen? That's why we all were interested at all in the gospel. You hear what I'm saying to you? Well, we got it tonight, didn't we? That story, hey, Brother Will, yep. Because if he can bring her back to life, listen to me, I'm wearing out fast. And if he can bring her back to life, glory, then surely he can bring me back to life. You hear? Verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. You got it? What revivals came place. So what have we learned tonight? Beloved, what we've learned is God doesn't work by formulas. His ways are different from our ways. And things that we think, when we examine these people's lives, we would think that God ought to do this, ought to do that, shouldn't do this, should do that. God doesn't care. Our part and our job is to come to God and read and find out what He really is like. He cared that those women's hearts were hurt over the loss of Tabitha, but He knew that joy cometh in the morning. Will you trust God for that? Would you stand? God bless you, precious people. Let God take this lesson tonight and minister it to you. Many of you saw things that I was not nearly wise enough to see in this lesson. Go back and read these things. Meditate on them. Let God bury such things in your life. Just notice that one little dinky point. If you don't look at your maps, if you don't really study to show yourself approved, you didn't realize what a magnificent revival this was. But there were still some lost. Still some lost. See, Joppa is right on the border. And so God produced a greater miracle for them. And they reeled under the blows of these two magnificent healings. In here tonight, understand, God still does miracles. And He still lets people die. And He even lets Christians, the finest, die sick. Don't be discouraged when that happens to you, if it does. Let nothing discourage you. Let no one persuade you that the Lord doesn't love you. No, do not let any circumstances in your life the loss of your wife, the loss of your children, the loss of your health, the loss of your jobs, the loss of the church's confidence in you, the loss of your confidence in yourself. Let nothing ever dissuade you from the fact that God knows where you live, that you live, that He cares, and that regardless of those circumstances that are screaming to you, He doesn't. We've learned from tonight's lesson that He does. If you and I had seen what happened to Dorcas, to Tabitha, it would seem to us that God had deserted her until the resurrection. Well, it wasn't really a resurrection. The resurrection, you get your new body. She came back to life in that same old body. Okay? Put these things in your heart. Father, we thank You for loving us. Give us the grace, Father, to meditate on the truths we've heard tonight. Help them realize, Father, this has not been where I've tried to put down other brothers that believe differently, but rather just to teach what You really say, that they can walk in truth and in freedom. Thank You, Lord. Give us safe trips home, refreshing rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, people.